as we stand. Father God, we thank you that we have this privilege to come together as your family and that we can hear from your word. We do pray that you would speak to us now through your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please do be seated. If you'd like to follow along, then please turn to page 1068 in the Pew Bibles. So, here we are on the cusp of Christmas again. I do believe I did a talk last year, and last year I hadn't wrapped my presents, but this year I'd managed to get them bought, and we're almost there, almost ready for Christmas. But I wonder, what's changed? The sun still sets early and we are plunged into darkness. We still gather around the table for Christmas dinner. We still spend time with friends, with family. And we still cover our houses in Christmas lights. At the moment, mine isn't very light because we've just moved house. But hopefully, it will be soon. But I'm sure all of you are a lot more organized and have lights shining. But what if I was to say to you that the darkness of night is not the darkness that we're to be concerned with? I wonder if you would listen and find out what our real concern is. Now, the passage we're looking at today is one I'm sure we're all familiar with, John 1:1-14. It's something we often hear in church, especially around Christmas. And it's a passage that is rich in theology. But also it is rich in life-giving meaning, which is why today I'm going to speak specifically on the light and life of Jesus. But just before I do that, I do want to begin by briefly speaking of the word that we hear of in verses 1, 2, and finally in verse 14. Now, what we know here is that John is speaking about Jesus. Because from the end of the book of John, chapter 20, verse 31, we know that his aims when writing it is that we may believe in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So what John wants us to know is that Jesus is the very meaning and very reason for life. Therefore, verses 1 and 2 could instead read, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him," that's Jesus, "and without him was not anything made that was made." And we finish in verse 14 with glorious words speaking of our Saviour. And this is a great way to begin our talk. "And the word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This glorious Son, full of grace and truth, has in verse 4 brought life. Life that was and still is the light of men. So let's dig in. "In him was life. All things were made through Jesus. Since the beginning of time, Jesus has been the very source of life. He is life itself, and he gives creation its meaning." I want you to think upon possibly the most famous words in the Bible, John 3:16. You see, life is a big theme in the book of John. And the words read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see here, in perfect relationship with the Father came Jesus, who gave his life, that all may have life and be saved from perishing. When we are out with Christ, he who is life, then we are merely creatures of earth, walking blindly in darkness towards death. But the moment we turn to Jesus, he who within holds life, meaning, and light, we experience the very reason for our creation. We experience and find true life, spiritual life, life eternal, that is never-ending life and meaning, hope, and reason. Now, when we look at the words eternal life, I know that I, and I'm sure many others' immediate reaction, is to think beyond death into the life we receive with the Father in heaven, everlasting life. And that is correct, don't get me wrong. When we turn to Jesus, we receive assurance of life everlasting with our Heavenly Father, and that is amazing and glorious. However, we can also be encouraged that eternal life starts as soon as we turn to Jesus, for in Him is life. We are made to know and be in a relationship with our Creator. He is the very reason for our being. So when we enter into relationship with Him, then we can begin living life to the full, living life to God's glory. If you are sat here and you believe in Jesus today, I wonder if you realize that life came into the world when Jesus was born on earth. I wonder if you are already living that eternal life that He has granted you the moment you turn to Him in belief. And I wonder if those of you that might be lacking the life of Jesus this Christmas, looking for reason, wondering why nothing truly satisfies, then I ask you, why don't you turn to Jesus, the key to life, who came to show you and bring to you everlasting life, purpose and meaning. When I think about what it means to me to have this life, I think of my sport. See, I love to play football, and I play for a team that play every week. And ever since I've been doing some things with Christian in Sports that I've spoken to many of you before about, their big thing is that our life becomes worship. Anything that we do becomes worship. And that is where we find our meaning. We are made to glorify God. We are made to live for Him, to worship Him with our lives. For me, it is in my sport and in my life that I can give glory to God. I find true meaning, a sense of freedom as I give everything for Him. I wonder where you can give everything for Him in your life. Now, John describes the life that we find in Him, in Jesus, as light, the light of men. I wonder why. Well, let's begin by looking at a few properties of light. Now, I want you to imagine a dark room, and as it's a family service, maybe you could close your eyes. You don't have to. Just might make it a bit more interesting. Now, when we enter a dark room, what is the first thing we tend to do? Well, we tend to turn on the lights, don't we? And we do that in order to see. So our first property of light is that it reveals. It brings sight. So Jesus comes and illuminates to us life. Life that is of God. He reveals to us. He enlightens us the real reason for creation. He reveals to us God our Father. Later on in John 14:9, it says, "Whoever has seen me," this is Jesus speaking, "has seen the Father." See, Jesus steps into creation among the darkness and reveals life. He reveals God the Father, who is calling out to you with the offer of true life through His glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus reveals the very character of God. He reveals true love, care, and joy. He points us to the Father with His life. Through God, Jesus became man so we could know Him and we could know joy. He points us to the Father with His life, that we might know light, that we might too follow the Father's will and enjoy the very meaning of our creation, a humble and intimate relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. And we receive a great encouragement in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What a great piece of imagery. Again, I want you to imagine glorious sunshine defeating the night. When we think of darkness, though, the connotations aren't good, are they? In darkness, we cannot see. It's cold. We think of wrong deeds. We think of death. But John 3:19 says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. We see here that darkness is the complete opposite of life. Darkness is rejecting and turning away from God. Darkness is death if Jesus is life and light. And yet here we see that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness hasn't overcome it. So whatever our feelings are towards Jesus, he is the light who came and he conquered. He accomplished his mission. In agreement with the Father, he came to earth. Shining in the darkness, he presented the creator of the universe to creation. And ultimately, he defeated darkness when he conquered death, dying upon the cross to take a people's punishment upon himself. And then 3 days later, he rose again into glory, conquering man's biggest problem. But before we delve into Christ's victory, let us think upon the reaction of people to this light, to Jesus. We know that he came into the world to demonstrate the immense love of God. He gave the blind sight. He opened the ears of the deaf. He brought the dead to life. And he never himself sinned. He never turned from God. He taught of God's good kingdom, and he was a light among the darkness. But what happened? Well, the Pharisees plotted against him. The Romans felt threatened by him. Simon Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him, and the people mocked him and cheered his death. And this is darkness. This is darkness plain for all to see. The light of the world, God as man, came in love, and man's wicked dark heart crucified Christ. God's King who came as light and man chose darkness. He came to bring life and man chose death. Verse 10 reads, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. Now, I've just explained that Jesus is the one through whom the whole world was created, but he was rejected by his own. And yet, here today, living in 2018, we're no different. Yesterday, I was in the British Museum in London, and I was looking through an exhibit about the King of Assyria. And it was amazing to be transported to a time before Jesus. But things were no different then either. They were full of idols, trusting in what they could make. They were trusting in creation rather than the Creator, such as Isaiah spoke against when he gave God's message to the people of Israel. And today, again, in 2018, what's changed? I imagine that if the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, or Prince Harry and Meghan, if you're on first name terms, announced a visit to Ferriby upon the arrival of their first child, the media coverage and the response of the village would be enormous. The streets would be packed, lined for a glimpse at the child and their family. But that child and that family cannot bring life, can they? They're not even in line to the throne immediately. But do we respond with the same excitement when we hear of true royalty, when we hear of Jesus who brings real, true, eternal and abundant life? And if not, why not? I wonder, is Jesus just a thought this Christmas? Are we living in darkness and rejecting him for the rest of the year? And then come Christmas time, draping a few fairy lights upon our soul before packing him away on Boxing Day. Or maybe we are a little better than that, or so we think. Maybe we are happy to say we are one of his on a Sunday, but throughout the week we deny him with our lives. Are our actions that of someone who has received eternal life? Or are we in fact ashamed to know Jesus in our workplaces and among our friends? Or maybe we are proud to tell others that we are a Christian. But I ask you, does your life match up with what you say? Does it hold fast to the Bible? Now, we all struggle, of that I can very much testify. But I ask, are we living a life that is worthy of our family name? Remember, those of you who believe and trust in Jesus, you have eternal life today. Live life worthy of Jesus. Live life worthy of your Father in heaven. And for those of you who do not yet know Jesus, or won't let the light shine all year round, hear the words in verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The victory that Jesus achieves over death brings us life. He brings us the right to go from mere creatures wandering in the darkness to God's children, living in the light full of life, living exactly as we were made to. We're made to worship him. And this is for all who receive him. There are no conditions. It matters not the color of our skin or where we were born. It matters not whether you are rich or poor, depressed, physically well or disabled, whether you're a fan of Hull FC or Hull KR, whether you voted remain or to leave. You can become a child of God if you receive Jesus. If you trust in him, you have new life. You are a new creation, not born of man, but of God. We must turn away from our past darkness and turn to Christ. He who has taken our punishment, who though he was perfect light and life, took death and darkness upon himself when he died upon the cross, even though that was completely undeserved, for he was sinless, he was spotless. But darkness has not overcome. He shone through. He broke the darkness. He never turned his back on the Father. Therefore, darkness could not enter into his life. So, when he died upon the cross, darkness could not defeat his glorious light, and he shone through the other side of death and into life when he rose from the grave. And when we turn to him, we experience life everlasting. We rise from death into life. So Christian, wake up and let his light shine upon you. Step out of darkness and into life. Know his joy and his peace. And for those who haven't made that commitment to Jesus, for those who are not yet his children, see the light that is dawning and walk with open arms into Christ's family. For the will of God is not that you trot around his creation as merely a creature, but you live as a child of God. And we're to bear witness to him. You are to be like the moon reflecting the sun. Now, verse 6 to 9 are a final encouragement and example. And it speaks of John the Baptist. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, about Jesus, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. So before we end, let us know of the example of John the Baptist. He came to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. John's mission was to tell of the coming of Jesus the Messiah, God's promised king, the true light. His life was dedicated to preach repentance. He baptized with water, bringing people to Jesus. We must all turn from the world and to Christ. We are to reflect Jesus. That is all we are to do the moment we are accepted into his family. The moment we turn from darkness to light, we are to reflect Jesus. And yet John was not the light, but he was held in high esteem by Jesus. John still needed Jesus to confirm whether he was the Messiah. John wasn't perfect, but with his life, he taught repentance. He pointed to Christ, who is our answer, who was perfect. Jesus is our answer when we're looking for meaning. He is the very reason for creation. Jesus has been around since the beginning of time. Jesus is our answer when looking for life to the full. When all else fails, when we know something is missing, when we are merely plodding along, Jesus brings true life, abundant life, freedom. He brings us relationship with the Father. We go from creature to child. And he is our light in the darkness, and brightly he shines, offering us hope in the night, revealing our need for him. So today, I urge you to turn from this world that is steeped in death and darkness to the light who came at Christmas, Jesus, never to be extinguished. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, into this world that he may live a perfect life, full of light, and that he took our punishment upon the cross, that if we trust in him, whoever we are, whatever we've done, we can know your forgiveness. We can be accepted into royalty, into your family. And we do pray that when we turn to you, we would live lives that magnify and glorify you, that they reflect your goodness. Father God, we know that we haven't always lived the way you want us to. But we know that when we turn to you, we find our true meaning and true life. Help us from this day forward to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.